Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study today is entitled, Work Out What Is Worked In. And this is our opening take. It gives God pleasure to see you holy. Okay, I'm glad we got a few amens there. It gives God pleasure to see you and I holy. It is His delight to see you and I denying self and overcoming sin. If you conquer yourself, it will give God pleasure. So depend on it then, since He is pleased with that result, and He has put forth His strong hand to bring it about, that you and I, in our Christian walk, we will not work on a perhaps, but on an absolute certainty of success. Our hearts and our minds should glow with the hope of being altogether rid of the power of pride and selfishness and sin. The best heaven I could wish for down here would be to be completely rid of myself. What about you? And it shall take place if we will work out what God works in. Will you please bow your heads with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we take pleasure now in opening the sacred scriptures. As we do so, as we consider the Bible and its teachings today, we invite your Holy Spirit to be with us. Lord, please grant us wisdom and understanding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please open your Bibles with me to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians chapter 2. Our key verses, of course, are our scripture reading. And that's verses 12 and 13. But let's get a little bit of our context and setting. So Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse number 1. This is what the Bible says. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even what death? Death upon the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, what was the command, or what is the command? work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. So I have through the years read and heard this command being applied to many different kinds of audiences. This idea of working out your own salvation with fear and trembling because it is God who works in you. So I've heard this applied to many audiences, many settings, but you know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that this exhortation, this command is not for all men, but for the people of God, that is his church. This is not a command to an unconverted person, but it is addressed to those who have already accepted Christ as their personal Savior and trust and obey him as their Lord. Let me remind you, let's turn a page in our Bibles over to Philippians chapter 1 and look at the introduction. Who is Paul writing this command, these counsels to? Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to who? To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will do what? Will perform it or finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, who is the Apostle Paul writing this counsel that we call in the New Testament, the book of Philippians? Who is he writing to? It's very clear he's writing to the saints which are at the church in Philippi. And by the way, we should not be afraid of this word saints. If you were to read the introduction, for example, to his letter to the believers at the church in Ephesus, read the introduction, he says, this is to the saints at Ephesus. When you read the book after Philippians, when you read Colossians, he says, this is to the saints and the brethren which are at Colossae. So we should not be concerned or doubtful about this word saint. The Christian world for a long time has hijacked that word. The Church of Rome especially, where it is suggested that in order to be a saint, what all do you have to do? Yeah, you are not only to live your entire life in strict obedience to all the rules of the church, but you have to die and be dead so many years before you become a saint. You know what? I'm grateful that that's not the biblical view. Yeah, what in the Bible, it's very clear. If you were to study this word saint through the Old Testament and New Testament, you know what a saint is? A saint is someone who believes in God and has accepted his only begotten Son as their Savior and asks for the Spirit of God to help them to walk in the ways of Jesus. That's a saint. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints at Philippi. He makes it very clear that his audience is not just everybody to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. This is not a command to all humanity. It's not a command to all men. It's especially not a command to those who are unconverted. And so the command simply is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to take a look at a few thoughts on the command. First of all, what is the subject of the command? What is the what of the work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? The subject, the what of the command, is the word salvation. In the Greek language, it's the word soterios. And I would like to suggest to you that this word, as it's used in the New Testament especially, is a great word. Salvation concerns every one of us here today, and all those of you who are joining us live stream or watching this program later, this word salvation, the command here to work out your salvation, that word is a great word, and it concerns every one of us today. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, passed their fallen natures onto us. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, we all have what? Sin, and fallen short of the glory of God. And that doesn't mean we're not tall enough. It just simply means we all have done our own thing. We all have focused on self and everything that goes along with it and disobeyed God and dishonored Him. And so we have all sinned, and we shall all perish unless we find salvation. The word salvation contains within it deliverance from the guilt of our past sin. What do we call that? Justification. But this word salvation also means more than that. Salvation also includes deliverance from the power of sin. We call that sanctification. Salvation, in a nutshell, is God's perfect work. Whose perfect work? God's perfect work for us. That's justification. And then also God's perfect work in us, which is sanctification. That is the subject that the Apostle Paul is speaking here to the believers at the church in Philippi. The next thought is, whose salvation is he speaking of? Work out what? Your own salvation. So the salvation that he's speaking of is your own. As he's speaking to the believers at the church at Philippi, every individual, he's saying to them, what I'm talking about is salvation, and I'm talking about your own salvation. So if we are saved, it will be our own salvation. It will not be someone else's. If we are not saved, the sin that we now commit is our own sin, and the guilt, our own guilt. Does that make sense? But if you and I have accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, then we are on the narrow road that leads to life. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath what? Hath life. It is our own salvation. So you yourself must believe. You yourself must repent. Salvation is a personal matter through and through. It must be our own salvation. And if it's not that, it will be our own eternal ruin. The everlasting gospel, which provides salvation, is a personal thing. What kind of thing? A personal thing. Christ freely offers his righteousness, and his righteousness is to become ours when we accept it. I've heard some people say when we talk about these things, yeah, but Pastor, we're told that we are to share the gospel with others. And that is true. We are to seek to spread the gospel, all the truths of Scripture of God's Word, but we must first what? Before I can share it, I must what? Know and understand it for myself. We are to seek and to spread the gospel, all the truths of God's Word, but we must first know the gospel and the truths for ourselves. We are bound by the gospel to reclaim those who wander, but we must take heed lest we ourselves what? Wander. The command is work out your own salvation. In plowing another man's field, let's use a couple of biblical illustrations. In plowing another man's field, We must make sure we do not allow our own to lie fallow. We may have to at times indicate to another the mote in his eye, but we must not permit what? A beam to blind our own. We may preach against the lazy sluggard, but cannot let the thorn and thistle grow in our own garden. We must testify to the medicine that Christ freely gives, but physician, see to it that you yourself are healed. The first business of a Christian should be to see that all his own spiritual graces are in vigorous condition. That repentance always weeps for sin. That faith always looks to the cross. That patience becomes stronger to bear her cross. And that hope's eyes are cleared to behold the signs of the times of Christ's soon appearing. We are never to sit down and say, my life work is over, I am saved, and I have no more pilgrimage left to the celestial city. So listen, the time for our life work to be finished will come. Our time of rest will come, but not until we reach the other side of the Jordan or are laid to rest in Christ. Until then, salvation for us is a personal matter. And if it's not a personal matter, then it's not going to work for us ourselves, nor will we have the power to share God's love with others. The next thought that we'd like to share is that our own salvation is that which needs to be worked out. And what is worked out is what God works in. Let's say that again. Our next point is simply, what is worked out is what God works in. Grab your bulletins real quick and go to the first inside flap there. Got a quote here from Acts of the Apostles, page 482. And let's see how the prophet to the remnant church states it. Do you got the quote there? Acts of the Apostles, page 482. I'll go ahead and read the quote. The work of gaining salvation is one of co-partnership, a joint operation. What kind of operation? A joint operation. There is to be cooperation between God and the repentant sinner. This is necessary for the formation of right principles in the character. Why is this joint operation necessary? Yeah, this is necessary for the formation of the right principles in the character. Man is to make earnest efforts to overcome that which hinders him from attaining to perfection. But he is wholly dependent upon who? Upon God for success. Human effort of itself is not sufficient. Without the aid of divine power, it avails how much? Nothing. God works and man works. And so the next thought is simply this. What we are encouraged and commanded to work out of our lives is what God, first of all, works in. The matter to be worked out is something which the text tells us is at the same time is what is the same thing that is worked in. Verse 13 simply says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the text says, it is God who works in us, and then we are to work the inward towards the outward. We work out, that is, we bring out from within ourselves to the exterior part of our lives that which God constantly works us in the interior part of our spiritual being. So question, can an unconverted man do this? No. When an unconverted man works out that which is within, he will naturally work out that which is his own nature. Things like selfishness, pride, envy, hatred, lustfulness, covetousness, etc., etc. But for those who are believers, who are born again, they have much better principles that are in them, given by the Spirit of God. So if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you are commanded to do what? Work out the fruits of the Spirit. Do you have faith? Work it out then. Act like a believer and trust in God in your daily life. Do you possess the incorruptible seed of God's Word and the principles and the standards and the power there? Bring it out then, and let your conduct be incorruptibly pure and heavenly. This is the matter to attend to, the bringing out, the working out, the development of the rich resources of divine grace which God has worked in us through the righteousness of Christ. So the past 2-3 months, we've been talking a little bit about what a mission-driven church looks like. And you remember, we've said this often, I'll say it again here, help me out. A mission-driven church is not a complicated thing. A mission-driven church is simply a church that is filled with mission-driven people. And so we have talked about things like sharing your personal testimony. We've talked about things like sharing the gospel presentation. In the near future, we're going to be talking about principles of how to give a good Bible study. But the foundation for me being able to do this, or for you being able to do this, is what we're talking about today. How are we able to work out these things to be a blessing to others? We simply work out what? God works in. And if I want God to work these things in me, then I need to make sure that I'm spending time with my Maker and Redeemer. How often? On a daily basis. So what then does this working out your own salvation look like? That is, what does it produce in the context of what the Apostle Paul is telling the believers at the church in Philippi? I would like to go back to the beginning of Philippians chapter 2 again. If you don't have your Bibles open, open them back up, Philippians chapter 2. And there's four main things that the Apostle Paul gives that gives a hint as to what it looks like when we are able to work out of our lives that which God works in. What does it look like from a practical standpoint? And you might be thinking to yourself, well, what it's going to look like is that we're going to have power to share the everlasting gospel. And that is true. But there's some things that are more basic than that, that the Apostle Paul is letting the church of Philippi know. So I'm going to start with verse number 1 again. Follow along with me. Philippians 2, starting with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be. What's the first thing that's mentioned? Like-minded. Well, what's like-mindedness? By the way, next week, we're going to talk on these four things that we're going to briefly mention here. We're going to talk a little bit more of that in detail next week. But one of the things it means for the church, he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi, saying, you want to know what it means to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, working out what God works in? One of the things it means that the church needs to be like-minded. It gives a little more information on that. Having the same what? Love. Look at that word there. It's agape, which comes only through the born-again experience, the gift that God's love that he gives us, having that kind of love, being of one accord and of one mind. You want to know what it means to work out your own salvation, to work out what God works in? Church, that's what it means. Let's continue on. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What would the church be like in Philippi or the church today if everything the church done, that nothing is ever done in vainglory and in focusing on what I want to do? What would that church be like? Well, it would be heaven's church on earth, wouldn't it? What does it mean to work out your own salvation? To work out what God works in? Church? That's what it means. Let's continue on. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of who? Others. What would the church be like if our focus as individual members of the church, if our focus was not on me and mine, but on being a blessing to who? To others. You want to know what it means to work out that which God works in? Church. That's what it means. The fourth thing, verse 5, notice. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a heavy one, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. What was the mind of Jesus like? Always what? Yeah, he always cared. Always obeyed the will of his Father in heaven. Was his focus on himself? No, you read the rest of the couple verses there. He would never have left the throne in heaven and come down and be made as a man in the likeness of our flesh if his focus was on himself. And so the Apostle Paul's telling the Philippians, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you today would like to have the mind of Christ? Oh man, we need it more now than ever, don't we? Over the past couple of years, I've mentioned, I've been here about a year and a half, and what a pleasure it has been. And in this year and a half, there have been, two or three times where I've mentioned, do you remember what it was like a couple of years before that? I do. I was pastoring a church in the Walla Walla Valley and a church in the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho area. And with the challenges the society put to the church and to society at large, I have to admit there were times when the things that I thought, because someone else disagreed with me on a few things, the things that I thought at times were not very nice. And I asked God to forgive me for them. And I apologized to the people that I was not acting like a Christian to. And I, you know what? On a regular basis, I have vowed since then, Lord, give me the mind of Jesus. Especially in hard times when we don't know for sure what to do. And we think the past couple of years are it. I think that was just a dry run. The church, we have things in the future to face. And let me tell you something. If we are not thinking like Jesus, and if we are not like-minded together, oh, Lord, help us. How are we going to be a witness to tell others about Jesus, to lift up his holy law and the command to remember the Sabbath day if I just hope it doesn't happen again in my life? What about you? Challenges are going to come, but I want to respond in a way to where it's Jesus thinking and Jesus feeling. Church, what does it mean to work out what God is working? Having the mind, that's what it looks like. And so, it gives God pleasure to see you holy. It is his delight to see you and I denying self and overcoming sin. If you conquer yourself, it will give God pleasure. Depend upon it then, since he is pleased with the result and he has put forth his strong hand to bring it about, that you and I in our Christian walk will not be working on a perhaps, but an absolute certainty of success. Our hearts and our minds should glow with the hope of being altogether rid of the power of selfishness, pride, and sin. The best heaven I could wish for down here would be to be completely rid of myself. Is that not your desire? And it shall take place if, with the help of God, we work out what he has worked in. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the privilege we've had to consider your word this day. And Lord, we want to thank you for working in our hearts and our minds that which you have. And we ask that you help us to work out that which you work in. And thank you for making it possible. In the worthy and precious name of Jesus, let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.